The gospel shows us today one of the most dramatic scenes in the entire story of our Lord's life, the moment in which he saw his apostles for the first time after his resurrection. It's hard for us to put ourselves in the place of the apostles to imagine what that would be like, because we have obviously never been close to someone who died and then came back from the dead. But that is what happened to them today, and they must have just been speechless and stunned. We can imagine them just standing there completely awestruck, not knowing what to think, and probably with a thousand questions in their minds. The first words that our Lord will say to them are the most important and will make the most lasting impression. So we also should pay attention to what he will say to them at the right away. His first words are, "Peace be to you." This really gives us a glimpse into the soul of our Lord, that the first thing he wants his apostles to hear from his mouth after he comes back from the dead are to tell them that they should be in peace. It's not hard to understand why, though. Our Lord wants them to be in peace, and he wants, of course, everyone, us and every human being to be in peace. His presence always brings peace with it. All forms of worry, concern, anxiety, or disturbance never come from God. God is eternal and unchanging and all good and all powerful, and nothing can disturb him. The more someone loves God and is close to him and is under his protection, the more he becomes like God in that regard, that he is calm and confident in life because he knows that God is in control. He knows that someone who loves God knows that the only thing that can go wrong in any situation is if he commits sin. And it is completely in his control to prevent that. So I wanted to talk today about Christian peace and what it is and why we need it, especially the peace of a good conscience. It's important to understand that the true peace that I'm talking about today is the peace that comes from the practice of virtue. It comes from a good conscience. In fact, that is the only kind of peace that there is, really. Sin can give us a gratification and a temporary exhilaration and some kind of satisfaction, but it can't give us peace. God has made us in such a way that we all want peace, and because of this, we all have a natural inclination for goodness. We all have an instinctive hatred for evil at the same time. It's true that sin and bad habits can corrupt this inclination towards good that is in all of us, but that love of virtue and goodness that is in everyone can never be completely destroyed. Now, because of this need for virtue and goodness that God has placed in all of us, he gave us a little alarm bell that tells us when we are doing something that will disrupt our interior peace if we commit sin. Just as our body has sensations of pain and discomfort that make us protect our physical health, so our soul has something equivalent. It's called our conscience. When we put our hand on a hot stove, we feel pain. And that makes us pull our hand away before we injure our body or before the injury gets any worse. In the same way, when we commit a sin, our soul feels pain in the form of remorse, and that makes us want to seek forgiveness for our sin. And this pain of conscience is a powerful thing. It really tortures the sinful person to the point where he can't enjoy anything at all because he feels so wretched and evil. there really is nothing that can destroy a person's peace of heart like sin. And this is for many reasons. First of all, sin is something disgusting in itself. Yes, people are tempted, and they do want to commit the sins that they commit. They do it willingly. But at the same time, they are disgusted with themselves and with what they're doing. We have a sense of morality, and it tortures a person to see himself doing evil, even if he wants to. And this is apart from thinking about the punishment that we earn by our sins. There was even a pagan philosopher who said, "Even if I knew that the gods would pardon me if I sinned, and that no one would ever know what I did, I would still not take upon myself something so abominable as moral evil." And that was just because of this instinctive love of virtue and hatred of vice that he had as a human being. The sinner also suffers from shame and from a loss of his reputation. Everyone wants to be admired and loved, but people just can't love someone who is morally bankrupt. Everyone despises someone who can't say no to himself, who gives in to his sinful desires. And no one can respect someone like that either. And so sinful people find themselves alone and avoided by everyone. Not only, of course, well, primarily by the people that they hurt through their sins, but also by everyone who sees their failings and looks down on them for it. In the book of Job, there is an interesting description of the torment of someone who has a bad conscience. It says that the sound of dread is always in his ears. He's always waiting to hear the sentence of his punishment. It says also, "He believeth not that he may return from darkness to light." This means that the sinner is almost in despair about being able to return from his evil ways back to the practice of virtue. And it continues to describe in vivid terms how the evil man is afraid wherever he goes. And he can never get away from the fear that possesses his soul. And it says also in the book of Proverbs, "The wicked man fleeth when no man pursueth, but the just, bold like a lion, shall be without dread." The first part is self-explanatory, but think about how a lion walks through the jungle. It walks with confidence. The lion knows that there's no other animal in the jungle that can do it any harm. And that's how the just man goes through life, in contrast to the sinner. The just man trusts in God, and he knows that he protects him. And it's true that bad things can and do happen in this world to a good person, but they can't hurt his soul. They can't hurt his eternal fate. And so the just man doesn't worry all that much about the evils that happen to him in this life. All of this stands to reason. It makes sense that we should feel pain when we act in a way that we are not supposed to. Because we see the same thing in all of the rest of nature. When you use something in a way that is not intended, you always have problems. If you take a fish out of the water, the fish suffers and eventually it dies. Because it's you're using it in a way that is not intended to. It's supposed to be in the water and you take it out. If you pull a bone out of its socket in your body, that's extremely painful, and that limb or that whatever part that bone is a part of is not, you can't use it because you're doing something with it that it wasn't intended to do. And in the same way, if we use our faculties and our abilities to commit sin, they were not intended to do that, and that will cause us pain too. It says again in Job, "Who hath resisted God and hath had peace?" That is a rhetorical question. Obviously, the answer is no one. Now, contrast all of this with the peace of a good man, a virtuous person. He is at peace with himself. And yes, it is hard sometimes to practice virtue. It takes self-sacrifice. But the pain of that mostly goes away when the just man has overcome temptation. Most of the time he is happy and at peace. As soon as he has overcome whatever temptation comes his way, that pain goes away and he reverts back to a state of contentment. He knows that he is doing what God wants him to do, and that fills him with peace. He doesn't care all that much about this world. It's the next world that he is looking forward to, and that really he is hoping for. And so if a virtuous person loses some good of this world, he knows it's only temporary. As soon as this life is over, he will have what he really wants, and that will never be able to be taken away. And what he really wants in life, namely his eternal salvation, is outside of the reach of the powers of this world. No one can take it away from him. It is as secure as God, because it is God who guarantees to him that he will receive this eternal reward if he remains faithful. But God doesn't just wait until the next life to reward the just man. He gives him, even here, a peace that is beyond comprehension. First of all, the just man is free from the problems that people bring on themselves from their lack of self-control. And that is one of the greatest sources of suffering in this life, is the suffering that the people cause to themselves through their own disorders. And when bad things do happen to the just man, because they happen to everybody, he has the ability to look beyond the sufferings of this world, because he can remind himself that they're only temporary. And soon he will be in a place where suffering is not able to reach, where he will have the highest joy that he will be capable of, and which will be completely secure. This is true peace. This is what our Lord wished to his apostles in the upper room, and which the apostles themselves now enjoy. They didn't have an easy life in this world. They labored exhaustively in this world to bring the gospel to everyone. And in the end, they all suffered a violent death for the sake of the gospel. All of them except St. John, who would have if he had not been miraculously preserved by God. But St. Paul, I think, spoke for all of them when he said that he abounded with joy in all of his tribulations, because he knew that God loved him and that he was working for an eternal reward. But our Lord said this not only for the sake of the apostles. What he wished to them, he wished to all of us too. He wants us to have peace, and he wants to give it to us, and he will, if we allow him, if we obey his law and ask for his grace to help us do that, we will have peace too. We won't necessarily be prosperous in a worldly sense, which doesn't give us real peace anyway, but we will have what is so much more. We will have the joy and security of a good conscience, the friendship of God, and in the next world, eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.